discourse on all the terms, Sarvasaisaita. This discourse appears in middle and saying, this is the second discourse. Thus have I heard, at one time, the Lord was staying near Savatthi in the Jeta Grove in Anathapindika's monastery. While he was there, the Lord addressed the monks, saying, monks, revered one. These monks answered the Lord in assent. The Lord spoke thus, I will discourse to you, monks, on the means of controlling all the taints. Listen and attend carefully and I will speak. So this controlling is a samvara, pariyaya. Yes, Lord, these monks answered the Lord in assent. The Lord spoke thus, I, monk, am speaking of the destruction of the taints in one who knows, in one who sees, not in one who does not know, does not see. And what, monks, is the destruction of the taints in one who knows and in one who sees? There is wise attention and unwise attention. Monks, from the unwise attention, taints that arise that have not arisen, and also taints that have arisen increase. But monks, from wise attention, the taints that have not arisen do not arise, and also taints that have arisen decline. And so this taints astral, and you might remember last week we discussed this astral in a bit detail, and so those three were that kama astral, that is this sensual desire, lust, craving for sensual desire, seeking sensual desire, delight in sensual desire, clinging to sensual desire, is called the sensual desire astral, kama astral. And then there is this craving for existence. So so we were talking about these taints, what are these astral. So there is this kama astral. Taint of sensual desire is sensual desire, lust, craving for sensual desire, seeking sensual desire, delight in sensual desire, clinging to sensual desire, all counted as kama astral or sensual desire. And then last week also we discussed this craving for existence, seeking existence, delight in existence, clinging to existence, all called bhava asava. And again, there is this avijja asrava, avijja asrava, or the taint of ignorance, is not knowing the noble truth, not knowing dependent origination, ignorance. Those are the asrava. So this definition can be found in Abhidhamma Pitaka, Dhamma Sangita. And so Buddha said that from the unwise attention, these taints get increased, get developed. From the wise attention, that taints that have not arisen do not arise, and also taints that have arisen decline. So that's the method, the wise attention and the unwise attention. So wise attention is that we are thinking about this impermanent nature, suffering nature, and in this discourse Buddha clearly says that the wise attention is the thinking about the Four Noble Truths itself, that the root of suffering, the origin of suffering, cessation of suffering, and path leading to the cessation of suffering. So that's the wise attention mentioned in this discourse. There are monks taints that should be got rid of by vision. There are taints that should be got rid of by control. There are taints that should be got rid of by use. There are taints that should be got rid of by endurance. There are taints that should be got rid of by avoidance. There are taints that should be got rid of by elimination. There are taints that should be got rid of by development. So Buddha is stating seven things here. Certain things to be got rid of by vision. Certain things we have control, so they can get rid of by that one. And certain ones by using. Method, so or endurance, avoidance, and the elimination and development, those are the seven. So it's not one thing. There are seven things to do. And then Buddha said, what monks are the trains to be got rid of by vision? Here, in monks, an uninstructed ordinary person, taking no count of the pure ones, unskilled in Dhamma of the pure one, untrained in the Dhamma of the pure ones, taking no count of the true men, unskilled in the Dhamma of the true men, untrained in Dhamma of the true men, does not comprehend the things which should be wisely attended to. Does not comprehend the things which should not be wisely attended to. He not comprehending the things that should be wisely attended to. Not comprehend the things that should be wisely attended to. Wisely attend to those things which should not be wisely attended to. Does not wisely attend to those things which should be wisely attended to. So that there are things that we should not be wisely attended to. But people are wisely attending to those things. Keep on thinking that the things that we should not be thinking about. And there are things that we should wisely attend to. And we are not thinking about those things. So that's what basically Buddha saying over here, in the using the, all the logic combinations. Buddha is explaining that this is the case. And and what monks are the things that should not be wisely attended to? What to which he wisely attend? From his wisely attending to those things, monks, the camp of sense pleasure arises, which had not arisen before, or the canker of sensual sense pleasure arisen increases, or the canker or taints of becoming arises, which had not arisen before, or the canker of becoming, that is bhavasrava, arisen increases, or the canker of ignorance or taint of ignorance arises, which had not arisen before, or the canker of ignorance arisen increases. These are the things to which he wisely attend, but which he should not be wisely attended to. It's something that he should not be doing, but he is doing it. So, kamasro, bhavasro, avidyasro, those are the three terms, they increases. And what monks are the things that should be wisely attended to, but to which he does not wisely attend? From his wisely attending to these things, monk, either canker of sense pleasure, which had not arisen, does not arise. Or if the canker of sense pleasure has arisen, it declines. Or if the canker of becoming, or if the canker of ignorance has arisen, it declines. These are the things that should be wisely attended to, but to which he does not wisely attend. If he wisely attend to things which should not be wisely attended to, if he does not wisely attend to things which should be wisely attended to, taints arise, which had not arisen before, and also taints in arisen increases. In these ways, he is not wisely attending. If he thinks, now Buddha is explaining what we are doing, this bad thing, unwise attention, or not wisely attending. If he thinks, now was I in a past period? Now was I not in a past period? Now what was I in a past period? Now how was I in a past period? Now having been what did I become in a past period? Now will I come to be in a future period? Now will I not come to be in a future period? Now with what will I come to be in a future period? Now how will I come to be in a future period? Having become what will I become to be in a future period? Oh, if he knows subjectivity, doubtful about the present period, and thinks, now am I? So he is even doubting about, am I existing or am I not existing? What am I? How am I? Now whence this being come? Where going will it come be? To one who does not pay wise attention in these ways, one of six wrong views, there is for me a self. Attati me atta in Pali. So there is for me a self, a body or something. Self is there. The view arises to him as though it were true, as though it were real. Buddha did not use that word without a meaning. It's a very big meaning in it. Oh, there is not for me a self. Oh, simply by self am I aware of self. Oh, simply by self am I aware of not self. Oh, simply by not self am I aware of self. The view arises to him as though it were true, as though it was real. For a wrong view occurs to him thus, whatever is this self For me, that speaks, that experience, that knows, that experiences now here, now there, the fruition of deeds that are lovely and that are deep-held. It is this self, for me, that is permanent and stable. So he's going into that level as well. It's permanent and stable. Eternal, not subject to change. That will stand firm life unto the eternal. This monk is called going to wrong views, holding wrong views, the wheels of wrong views, or the wildness of speculations, the wrinkling of wrong views, the scuffling of wrong views, the fetter of wrong views. So here, now you might get confused how that we were talking about the sensual desires, you know, the fetters, and they are, and then the existence, taints of existence, and then the taint of ignorance. And Buddha is now talking about the views. You know, Buddha said, but whilst attending, by doing this one, this sensual desire and all the other things increases. So then there's a question mark come to that one, right? Okay, that one is really big, long to explain. We sort of touch upon this one before in a discussion. Remember that we basically from the wrong views that ignorance arises more. And from the ignorance the taints arises. Now we sort of normally used to think that we get the sensual desire or anger sort of thing, and then therefore the ignorance come to arise and that one. Now Buddha is actually explaining the other way around. From the ignorance, from the wrong view, how the sensual desire and the hatred can come to arise. So Buddha is saying, from the understanding, from seeing, this is the path that you are cutting down. It is like from point A that you are going to point B. B is actually the ignorance part. From ignorance that you are coming back to A is the craving for the sensual desire and sort of thing. So one path, Buddha is saying, from doing these things are increasing and occurring. If I explain this one in greater detail, it is the 44 paths. It is starting from the third path of the mind choice as the nutriment, and then there is this the perversion that there is a self in not self. Having that one, there is this view assignment. These are the views that come to arise. And from the views, there are bond of views, the body tie of misapprehension, the taint of views, the flood of views, the barb of views, and the perception, the consciousness steady on the perception, and then the going bad way through fear, and then we move to the fourth path. Having moved to the fourth path, we are coming back again to the sensual desire and the path. So this is a very clear discourse where Buddha explained that from the stream enterer, what he cuts down is not the path that going from having seen an object going to the forming of the ignorance. It is from the ignorance you are coming back to do the same thing again. Very clear discourse.
So is it like thinking of form as self in terms of past, present, and future? Is that
Yeah, well, this although Buddha over said over here, it is explained, said it in short. It is normally happening with this. Let's say someone even can go into a concentration, high concentration. Having gone into high concentration, then he can recall his past births. Having recalled his past births, now he can actually see, well, I was such and such a form. I had this particular form. I was a divine being. I was a human being. So now he's actually thinking that the self is there. I am just, the person is there. I'm taking different forms. I took the human form. I took that form, sort of thing. So, and then he actually proclaimed, well, I am permanent. I am stable. I'm, you know, the self is there. And so he's going into this sort of wrong views, and with this going, all the aspects Buddha covers in that one, that how one can actually form into these wrong ways.
And is the reason that doesn't understand how the Patisampada,
yeah, He does not know the arising phenomena and passing away phenomena. Not understanding it, now he thinks, well, this is how it is. And then he go into the permanent and stable. Or he may be getting confused. He get confused that some regard this form as self. Some think, well, no, it is not. Form is not self. And some regards that that I am, I exist. Some regards that I do not exist. And do not try to find that I, because you don't find it. If you try to, you get only two views. Basically, Buddha said most part, the world has got two views. One view is that it exists. The other view, it does not exist.
They're both wrong?
Both wrong. Both wrong in the sense, if you think, if you know the origin of a form, for that person, then the non-existence is wrong. If there is origin, for example, there is a birth or birth of a baby, birth is there. That means you would say the birth, baby exists. So you would not say baby does not exist, because you know the origin. If you know the arising phenomena, you never say that does not exist.
So, Nalik, you said you remember your previous births, or some of them, not all the aeons, but you remember some. So, there's not anything permanent that's been in all those births, and yet there's somehow...
It is conditionally arising. I know that it is conditionally arising. It is not me going from that birth to this birth. It's like a... Take a two pieces of wood stick, okay? And then you rub them together. And then the fire comes in. So where the fire comes from? If you ask, then you can't explain, right? It is that there was a heat and then the condition is right, so the fire rose. And then the wood sticks burn and the fire is gone. Where's the fire gone? The condition ceases, so this one ceases. The birth is like that one. Condition is right. Right, therefore it's come to arise. Condition ceases, the other one ceases.
So there's no self, but it's still your previous birth and not mine.
There is a connection. There is a connection because it's a volitional formation construct this consciousness. The volitional karma, karma you have accumulated and done, said and done over here. So this karma, the, always remember the consciousness is constructed from the volitional formations. You have habitual tendencies, right? Let's say for you used to kick something and you keep on kicking it, right? Like that one. You are constructing your mind always, the consciousness is constructed. At that instance, it was not that consciousness is, was there before and then I have consciousness now, like that one. This is a stream of consciousness, so people can't actually understand this stream is constructed rapidly from the volitional formation. It's constructed, consciousness comes to arise, and then the volitional formation is constructed, volitional formation constructed the consciousness. So it's a stream that is constructed. So since it is rapidly happening, people think, well, I was there before, I'm now, I'm be sort of thing.
It's like how much volitional formations that you have had, and then...
It is also not steady.
Yeah.
It is also changing.
Yeah, and because how much, the way you cling to things, and then whatever the fruitful things will give a birth, different births, isn't
fruitful
it?
Fruitful or unfruitful, you know, that...
No, fruitful I mean that... can give a birth.
No matter
whether it's a bad or
that results in action.
Yes.
So those views come to arise, and so when we get this view, these are the wrong views. That's the bad thing. Whenever you get the wrong view, remember we discussed this one long time ago as well. This chart. From the wrong view, you get ill will, hatred, and you get the covetousness. So when the covetousness lead to all the other the bad things like stealing, and the ill will leads to harsh speech, frivolous talks, and slander, and killing. Ignorance leads to sensual misconduct. So wrong view leads to 8 things. Wrong view, wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood, wrong effort, wrong mindfulness and wrong concentration. When you get those wrong 8, what you have is ignorance, more. From the ignorance, then you are going back to the lust, sensual desire, and then you are going back to malice, anger. So that's the connection. Buddha has not explained that one in great detail. When you have the wrong view, remember Buddha started with the sensual desire, whatever thing that increases that we need to avoid, not get into that one. And so Buddha started with this the view. So view is the precursor. Because of the wrong view, all the bad things are happening. So fettered with fetter of wrong views, monk, the uninstructed ordinary person is not set free from birth, from old age and dying, from griefs, from sorrow, from ills, from tribulations, from miseries. He is not free from the anguish, I say. So he is not free from suffering. If we have the wrong views, vichaditti, well, this is what one can expect. But the instructed disciple of the pure ones, who takes count of the pure ones, who is skilled in the dhamma of the pure ones, well trained in dhamma of the pure ones, who takes count of the true men, who is skilled in the dhamma of the true men, well trained in the dhamma of the true men, he comprehends the things that should be wisely attended to. He comprehends the things that should not be wisely attended to. Comprehending the things that should not be wisely attended to, does not wisely attend to those things which should not be wisely attended to. He wisely attends to those things which should be wisely attended to. And which monks are those things which he does not wisely attend to become, they should not be wisely attended. Those things monks by wisely attending to which they arises the kind of sense pleasures which have not arisen before, or the kinds of sense pleasures which has arisen before increases, or there arises the kink of becoming, or there is the kink of ignorance which had not arisen before, or the kink of ignorance which arises before increases, there are the things to which he does not wisely attend. So whatever thing that lead into the unskilled states of the mind, like the increase of the sensual desire, he is not attending to those. And even if it is actually increasing the existence, he is not attending to that one. Like that thinking about that, am I in the past, am will I be in the past, what I will be in the past. No point, because if you cannot know, there is no point thinking about it. You know, just understanding that it is suffering right now, birth is suffering, aging is suffering sort of thing right now, will help you to attain what everything has not attained yet. So, and which monks are the things to which he wisely attained? Because they should be wisely attended to. Those things monks, by wisely attending to which there does not arise camp of sense pleasures, which had not arisen before, or the camp of sense pleasures which has arisen before decline, camp of becoming, camp of ignorance, that is kamasrava, bhavasrava, avijjasrava, whatever thing those things decline, these are the things to which he wisely attend, because they should be wisely attend to. If he is one who does not wisely attend to things that should not be wisely attended to, if he is one who wisely attend to things that should be wisely attend to, both the taints which have not arisen do not arise, and the taints which have arisen decline. He thinking, this is suffering, this is anguish, wisely attend to that one. This is the origin of suffering. So he thinks about that. This is the stopping of suffering. This is the cause leading to the stopping of suffering. He wisely attend to that one. Because he wisely attend, thus the three fetters decline. Wrong view as to own body, doubt, adherence, wrongful rites and ceremonies. These ones are the core, are the things to be got rid of by vision. So what would he say? By contemplating about the birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness is suffering, death is suffering, that never noble truth, he becomes a stream enterer. That's what Buddha said. He becomes a stream enterer, once returner has got rid of these three things. That is wrong view as to own body. You know, previously there was this wrong view about what I am, will I am, you know, there is self or me, all those things, they are gone. And you can see what I'm saying, you should not try to find whether I am, whether there is I am. It is normally a meditator will get into that state. It is sort of thing, it is needed to a certain extent to understand this. So therefore, since Buddha said that things are impermanent, whatever thing that are impermanent, it is subject to suffering. And whatever thing subject to suffering, Buddha is asking, is it befitting to regard as self? Is it worth? Is it befitting? If something is suffering, to regard that one as mine, this I am sort of thing. That's what Buddha said. But going through that statement, then people think that, then I do not exist. Some going into that one, that I do not exist. So that is one extreme, that I do not exist. Someone says I do not exist, I am not here. So that means you don't have a father, you don't have a mother, you don't have a teacher. Because that if I am not here, then there is nothing. And since I am not there, then I don't have any meals either. Right? So that's one extreme. The other extreme is, then one man actually looking at and thinks, well, I have got a body. So body is not mine. Is the body is me? So then he is looking at the other way around. Is the body is me? So he is now thinking opposite direction. He previously he got that none of these things are mine. And now he thinks that is this body as same as me? So he is trying to find it and then he can't see because he can see that people are with legs, without legs and sort of thing and you know, various things. And if I regard that the feeling as self, perception as self, and then you will see that these things are changing as well. So either way, one can't find the existence. If you search for details, then you actually see both cases. Where in one case you can say I exist, in another case you can say I do not exist. So Buddha is not asking us to go into those things. That's the idea over here. We need to think about the middle way. Middle way is that if you think about that the form, how the form come to arise. There is this body. How this body come to arise? That was actually Samadhi Bhavana concentration discourse Buddha explained. That we once seek delight in form, welcomes it, remain holding to it. By doing that one, then the delight arises. As the delight as condition, well, there is this existence of the craving. As existence of the craving, then there is this birth. So with the birth, you get the body. That's how the form comes to arise. And if one does not seek delight in form, does not welcome it, does not remain holding to it, so then delight does not arise. With the cessation of the delight comes the cessation of the craving, cessation of clinging, cessation of existence, cessation of birth. So that's the way to understand this, no? That is how it is come to arise. That's the way to understand the feeling as well. You know, if you take two wood sticks, if you rub them together, then you can see the fire come to arise. The heat come to arise. Like that, the feelings are arising depending on the contact. So the arising phenomena has to be seen as it is.
So at this point of time, it does not explain what I is, but...
There is no I.
There is no I, but...
It is all constructed.
Yes. So we have a form that constructed I takes a temporary refuge in. And when I leave the form, it just remains a temporary.
No. It is conditionally arising. There are five things. There is this matter, there's feeling, there's perception, volitional formation and consciousness. These five are together. The consciousness cannot stand without these four. Okay, so they are together. So you can label it as I or whatever thing it is we are making. But if you label it as I, then you can see there are forms. Consciousness, for example, living without the form as well. So the very, you know, the Brahma world sort of thing, you can see it is a very subtle, the gases, subtle form, where the form is not even visible. So you can see whatever thing we label as I, that I does not exist. If I say this, my hand is I, then my hand amputated, I myself disappear. If I say that pleasurable feeling, now first feeling is myself, some people regard feeling as self, what I feel. So if someone regards feeling as self, then there are three kind of feelings, pleasurable feeling and displeasure feeling, neutral feeling, and feeling changes. So if I say the pleasurable feeling is self, then when it becomes displeasure, I myself disappear. So I can't find the I in that self as well. So it is this fire rolls some way. It's a process. So one has to understand this is a process. It's depending on this condition, this arises. That's all. But for a long time, we used to regard as this form as self. This body, I am, here I am. Like rather than thinking, oh, this was originated by this process, by my craving for these things, that I arose over here, and the so-called I arose over here, and then the passing away with this, when I don't have this craving. So that phenomena is the one hardest one to understand, unless you concentrate very heavily in the meditation, and go through the Buddha's the teaching like this, the rising phenomena, passing away phenomena, like in concentration, meditation, one would not see it. It is only, otherwise it is just a set of instructions for them. Why we can't see? Because our mind are fettered by these things. Sensual desire is a bigger thing. It's covering the mind, anger and the delusion. Those three hold it. Five hindrances, for example, it holds it. And you can't
see. And again,
see.
I think because that concept is because there is a label for everybody.
Mm.
So because of that labeling, so one think about that form. Label. That's what. Because see the houses, there are houses, a lot of houses. But are you concerned about somebody else's houses? It's all you concerned about your house because it's labeled as yours.
Mm.
The same as your body too, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
Otherwise it's similar. So what you can say that you have, but somebody else don't have. It's all the matter at the end, isn't it? The five, these
aggregates
things.
Mm. It is just labeling first came from your father, mother. You know, they gave you a name, right? The Padmasiva. You know, gave a name. And what they gave the name for? Is for that whatever the four elements. Element of heat, element of extension, element of heat, element of motion. So those four, they labeled Padmasiva. Right? But they did not label as I. He did it himself. They said, Padmasiva. They could have given another name, you know. That's so you can see that the name is independent. The Padmasiri name is independent of his body. And then if you actually replace the Padmasiri in the word letter I, then you can say I is independent of the body. It is he made it himself that I am. His father or mother didn't do that one. He did it himself. Like that we all. You all claim that I am, you know, this is constructed our mind, and see. So, what I'm trying to say here, don't try to find whether you are there, and do not try to find that you are not there either. Just go through this Buddha's Eightfold Path, and then you will actually find it yourself. Well, this is what Buddha meant, and this is what it is.
And again, the main thing in Dhamma is not that, because main thing is this the
suffering.
Suffering. So that's only a tiny part of the whole truth, isn't it?
I concept. Well, it's not tiny.
Yes.
It is very big.
And also somebody should know what. Actually, at this stage we cannot understand, but the thing is that curiosity continuously flowing, because
until you understand it, right? It is, so in that case,
why we can't understand is we are attending to this what Buddha said over here. Am I? What I am I going to be in the future? You know? So one is actually thinking about it.
When we are animals, do we think we are, or do animals
have their mind is very, very narrow. They also think, yes. They also
and
think,
they think they
Yes. You give some food to dog, they come and eat, you know, sort of thing. They have, well, there are discourses how they were thinking.
Yeah, you can see that clear at when I was in Sri Lanka, we could see that a dog, when you give food to him, he eats some and leaves some part, and he's protecting that part. Nobody
That's mine.
That's mine. That he's claiming that it's mine.
Yeah.
That's why they own territories, isn't it? They mark their own territories because of that thing. They don't want others coming into that.
Yes. So now. So what Buddha is saying, the wise attention here is that one should be thinking that this is suffering, this is the origin of suffering, this is stopping of suffering, this is the cause leading to stopping of suffering. So if we actually do that one, then these three fetters, that is doubt, and then the adherence to wrongful rites and ceremonies, and the wrong view as to body, all one can get rid of. And these three is itself is big, and first one would have this wrong view that we just discussed, and we discuss how it is leading to the other the sensual desire and things like that, and then there is this doubt about the Buddha, Dhamma, and the teaching. You see, people are not actually attending, wise attending, because they have the doubt. They think, well, is this the way? The birth is suffering, thinking about the aging is suffering. Is this the way to attain? I mean, I have much trouble explaining this to people. They are fighting with me. One actually left a group because that, you know, they don't want to contemplate about suffering, think about suffering. So there are that extreme as well. And then the adherence to rites and the ceremonies, it is simply coming from it is the second part of the nutriment, that is having seen, having got some sort of a, so the nutriment is the contact. So when you get a contact, let's take this example, let's say you have eaten some good food one day, tasty, colorful, and you like it. And you have done that one, and then later on, next day also, that you actually see that food. As soon as you see that food, then you get the perversion or vipallasa in Pali, that this is there is pleasure in this thing. Rather than suffering, you think it is pleasure. So that view, the second view, come to arise. So when that view come to arise, one would be happy about that. I'm happy about that pleasure that has arisen. And so yesterday it was good, and today it is good, then I imply, well, tomorrow it will be like same, be good. I'm happy. I'm holding this one. This is not only for food, it is happening for everything. You know, other examples that you have a job, you got a wife, or you got children, you got cars and properties and things. And then one would think, well, it is all fine for me. And then something will happen. A tsunami, earthquake, so wife die, husband die, children die, you know, the car broke down, or something happened. And then you are upset. So this is the part leading to anger. So when it is good, we actually hold the future. When it's everything is good, we hold the future. Well, this is good. I got everything under control and everything fine, I am happy. So I hold the future tomorrow to be happy, tomorrow to be good, and the next birth to be like this, or better than this. So then you would hear something, well, by doing these good things, well, you can be born in a divine world, right? You practice virtue, you have practiced these kind of rituals, And for example, people cut, you know, the goats, they sacrifice goats. So by doing that one, that's the ritual, then I can be born in a good world. So that sort of thing. So they do, because they want to have the future, better future, they do these things. And so that is the extreme points. So these extreme points will be also removed by understanding this this Dhamma. The birth is suffering, aging is suffering. If it is suffering, you don't want to continue. If it is suffering, if you know that this food I'm talking about going to create problem for me, I have diabetic, if I eat, then my leg got to be amputated, then I know the suffering nature. So I'm not holding, I will eat this one tomorrow. Similarly, if I know that my family is going to break, I'm going to lose my job, well then I don't want to continue in this way. So I don't want to hold the future. If it is suffering, why would I go to suffer future?
But the problem is people don't understand that suffering until they get that, because that's why people don't bother about that, because they are not old yet.
Some people, because even they get the suffering, they don't understand. Because
and until when the time comes that you understand, you feel the suffering, your mind doesn't work to understand that, the truth of suffering.
Yeah, that's because that they actually see suffering for that instance and they used to it. That is called the view. That view is that this is pleasure, this is pleasurable, is the view. There is a perception seen when there is a contact, then this view arises that this is pleasurable. Because we have practiced it before, that one come to arise. So he does not really understand this is suffering. So there were some methods that he was using when it is the suffering happens. Let's say normally you go into the anger state. So the technique is, well, I'm suffering now. Well, let's go and have a drink, alcohol or something, so that I can get rid of suffering. Or have some sense pleasures. Buddha said this on in a discourse. So by having sense pleasures, I can get out of this suffering. So that's the formula used to know. So they apply that.
I'm a bit concerned about not the bit of suffering you're talking about. The way I was thinking was, when I say I do not refer to this person with my name. Okay, I think I is an entity, and therefore I say I am not his body. When I say I again, it's not the person with the name, I is an entity. And so when I pass away, that entity leaves the body, and then that entity goes where it goes.
What is the entity?
I don't know, because if you...
So that means you actually constructed something called entity that actually you are clinging to that entity.
No, I'm not clinging. It's just that, like, if one attains Nibbana, okay?
One does not attain Nibbana.
No, if one attains Nibbana, what attains Nibbana?
Like, this is the cessation of all the conditions.
And the volitional formation. No volitional formation.
All those things ceased. That's all happened. So there is no further constructions. It's like that fire went away. You know, it's burnt out. No conditions for the existence of the fire. There aren't any conditions.
If that's the case, how come there are arahants in other worlds?
The arahants in?
If that's the case, how come there are arahants in other
worlds?
Yeah.
They were not born as arahants. They were never returners. The never returners. And then they passed away. They were not arahants. And then they were born in the other world. And then they became arahants. It's like a human being over here attained this status, like once returner, stream enterer, once returner, never returner, and then he become arahant like that. So this is simply that this person passed away, and then born in somewhere, like we do meditation and attain, so they do meditation and they attain.
And when they pass away from that world, then
they don't exist.
They don't exist.
No one exists. Because the conditions are no longer there for the existence. So, condition is that you need to hold into something. You need to hold into either body, matter, or the feeling, or the perception, or the volitional formation. Those are the conditions. If the consciousness is not holding to any of these things, then nothing will arise.
So the entity, well, we sometimes think that there's an entity we call Lalit, and Lalit says he recalls his previous births, but Lalit does recall his previous births, but they're not a constant entity through all of them, and it's really very hard to understand.
All constructed. Mm. All constructed things. And you can, what you are talking about, the entities, is the set of constructed things for which you have labeled a Lalit. That's what it is. That the fire is the good example over there for anyone to think. You know, there was only wood, two wood sticks. There wasn't any fire. And then the fire comes in. Was the fire inside the wood stick? No. So where's the entity in that case? This was constructed.
Lalit, I also have one question. Now, for his having, and also it is still, that question is still with me, but I, as I was instructed, I left this question to be answered future in time if I got the mental condition to understand. But the thing is now, we know actually, as I understand, we have been made out of four great elements, and that is because of our fire brigades of clinging. And when it ceases, these things ceases. But the thing is, until we go to that level, we are, from one birth to the next birth, we are creating, or we are creating one after the other. And the thing is now, for this birth, this matter things I leave out here, but I will get carried to the next birth, the consciousness. Is that the right thing?
Consciousness is made in that birth.
Yeah, that's right.
This one, there was a consciousness at the time of the death over here,
yeah.
And there was a volitional formation at the time of the death.
Yeah.
That volitional formation construct that consciousness over there.
Yeah, that's right. Now, but still, my something in this birth to be carried to the next birth, because if it is not there, I am not concerned about my future.
There is a connection. Because yes. This one based on your consciousness was based on this one.
Yes.
But it is not the same consciousness that went from here to here, there.
That's right.
It is a construction.
Cause and effect.
Cause and effect.
But I don't really understand the difference between my consciousness and my volitional formation in English or Pali.
You think about your habitual tendencies, you know, the thing, habits that you have, you know, either verbal or the mental, the physical. And so what it does, if you used to kick something, if you used to play with something, you know, and when you have that same object in your hand, what you do it same again, right?
And it's not consciousness. These are the things you do when you're not conscious.
No, your consciousness is producing this one. The volitional formation that you have trained your mind to do that one, so it does it that way. It's a stream. Think about a monkey. A monkey sort of go from, how does monkey walk from one place to another? You know, tree. It holds for one tree. And then grab the other one, let this one go, right? And then grab the other one, you know, turn the other one. So it is going like that. Consciousness is like that as well. It is holding to something. Let it go and grab the other one. Just moving from one to another. Mind is monkey mind, that's what they were saying.
It's, I know a lot of my thinking is just habit. So just as when I keep something, I keep doing it as a habit. Keep having a thought, and it's a habit.
Yeah, that's called habitual tendencies. or volitional formations. How you trained? In the sense that you trained your mind, having seen some object, some food, right? You train, I like it, I want it, sort of way, right? Whenever you see that food, then I like it, I want it. So the habitual tendency or the volitional formation construct. It constructs five things, not one thing. It constructs the conditioned form as form, conditioned feeling as feeling, condition perception as perception, condition volitional formation as volitional formation, and condition consciousness as consciousness. It constructs. So it constructs condition form as form.
This
volitional formation. Right? So take an example. You have seen some food before. And having seen that food, you have eaten that one. Now, you got the perception that this is green, right? A piece of cake, let's say, this is green, and the icing is there, green. So, you got the perception that this is green. And since you have tasted, you know the feeling, right? And then you have the feeling, the perception, and you know the form that this is square or whatever thing, you know, the features. And you know what to do with it, you eat it. Right? That's what you do. I mean, if it is a piece of wood, you don't eat that this one, I eat. So you have this one. So your habituality is there for with that food, what to do with it. And then your consciousness is now aware that such is food, such is the feeling that I get when I eat. So rather than thinking that way, you can say such is my feeling. And then you say such is my perception. This food is green, and it is doing a really bad thing. It actually tells you that this food is pleasurable. What one feels is what one perceives. What one perceives is what one apprehends. So your feeling is now perceived by the perception as well. And then it actually reminds the what you did with that one. It's a piece of wood, then you are, no, I'm not eating. Otherwise, I can eat your saliva and all those things come to, you know, that when people see food and all those things are coming up as well, right? And the dog will, you know, wiggle the tail as well. How? He just saw the food. Didn't have any contact other than that. So, and the consciousness is aware, so it constructs, well, this food, well, this is the food that you like. This is the food that this taste. So it's all illusion, but this particular food may be a completely artificial thing, you can't even eat. It may be something that hasn't got the sugar and the right content. But having perceived it before, it constructs this stupid thing for us. So we go with that one, and then you perceive that I am. You know, I was the one who was eating the other one, I am the one who actually eating this one as well. So all constructed very quickly. Therefore, we go with the flow and we think that I exist, I ate it yesterday, and this is Lalit who perceived the past life before, and all sort of thing.
Because and, yeah, and again, I think that's why, because see, well, how many people are here? If we hear about 10, 11 people, we all have the similar, same matter. We are constructed with the matter and the pataviya, potejo, ayu, that gas, liquids and all these together, that I have all these things and you have all these things, somebody else has all these things together, and but we all act in different ways, isn't it? When somebody is very quiet spoken, I will be a loud spoken person. Why is that? Because this is why I have been practicing for so many births, so that's what I have got this time. Isn't it? One is quiet because that's what that person has practiced so many
times
in birth. Yeah. So that's why that person got that.
And for the same food, another person would say, oh, I don't like it. I don't eat it. How come it is? If this food is actually tasty, how come that person is saying that I don't like it? So it is all constructed by myself, you know, by my formations. Even the feeling that I'm taking, talking about that this is pleasurable, all is constructed.
You need to say, myself, what was your will before?
Well, that is actually the way of explaining these things. You can use that I am, I self, so myself sort of thing. For the this is called vohara, or for the conveying the meaning, Buddha use as well.
Yeah. So that's like, so you actually
referring to something,
yeah,
like the entity you were talking about.
Yeah.
But I know that entity was actually constructed yeah. thing. That's the only difference.
And with the with this is with reference to Padma's question, where does the karma tag on for the
volitional formations is volition. Volition is the karma. Chetana ambikve karma angadami. Volition is the karma. Volition is the one that coordinate all the things. Your feeling, your perception, everything coordinated by the volition. So it's aware. It's like a monitor in a class. You know the monitor in the class? Yeah, when somebody actually asks a question, all the others are raising their hand and the monitor has got his own thing. But he is coordinating that, you know, the 10 people raise his hand like that one. So my feeling, this much, perception, that much, it's sort of aware. In the writing speaking, the volition is defined in this way. Itipi kamesu samyutto viharati bhavitu ajosanna. Kamesu is sensual desire, sensual things. Bhavito is using it. Samyutto connected with it. Ajosanna is remain holding to it. So these sensual desire things that we were talking about, that we are connected. Take the example of the food, that particular one, we are connected with it, right? We are connected with our own food, right? We are not connected with dog's food, we are connected with our own food. So, kamesu samyutto connected. Bhavitu, I use it. I eat it, I use it. Ajosanna, remain holding to it. I have eaten this today, I like it, I want it tomorrow. So, this is called ayam chetana, this is the volition. So basically you can see your craving becomes, the result of craving becomes that sort of, that thing called volition. And you are remaining holding to those things. And you know, let's say you have eaten something, you completely gave up that one. And smoker, for example, it does, having doctor say that do not smoke. If you smoke, that you know your heart, your lung, you know problems and sort of thing, and he completely give up. Well, then having seen that one, he's not forming anything. I want to smoke.
So where does this merit comes from then?
Merits also you are actually developing. The volition is carrying both your skill states and the unskilled states, both.
So if I do something outstandingly bad, which sends me to hell, then that's because doing the bad thing has changed my volitional formation to where the only place it can go is.
Yes, yes, yes. You accumulated something. You know, if you have a dog behavior, what do you expect? You would be a dog, right? You train your mind to be a dog. And you trained, you are doing something bad to someone, means that you trained your mind to be like that. You know, that's suitable for that condition. Then it is suitable for you because that it was part and parcel in that thought. So it's shaping the destiny in that way.
And then again, that it can say like even the arhat, the monks who were at that time during Buddha's time, like Arhat Mukulam. And then he was beaten once, isn't it? Because it's because of the bad karma he has done in the past, in his one of the previous births. Even it, because it is
effective wherever it is. Unless you are not going to be born, all the karma, the good things and the bad things, all come follows after you.
But confused again now. So the bad things blood. Meritorious things and non-meritorious things, they all are tagged onto the volitional formation. Is that what you're saying? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So, so let's move on to the next part. So then Buddha said, at what months are the taints to be got rid of? By control. So is in Pali is called Patamacha Bhikkhave Asava Samvarapaha Tattva. Taints to be got rid of by control. In these teaching months, a monk wisely reflective lives controlled, with control over the sense organ of the eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, of the body, of the mind. Whereas monk, if he lived uncontrolled in regard to control over these sense organs, taints which are destructive and consuming might arise. But he lives controlled with control over these organs, then the taints which are destructive and consuming are not. These monks are called the taints to be got rid of by control. You see that now Buddha is the first Buddha actually explained coming from the ignorance path to back to the sensual desire. That path was how to cut it. Now Buddha is explaining how to stop going from arising, getting into that condition. How I am going to get the ignorance. So having seen a form, if I actually perceive it as pleasurable and so on, if I observe that object, because I have trained my mind to, you know, entice my mind with the pleasure and sort of thing, then the consequence is that I am going through that path of accumulating these taints, astro, and that astro is actually leading to the same wrong way. So starting from this lobha, or the attachment lead to the ignorance. Ignorance is coming back to the attachment. So it is a loop over there. So remember we discussed sort of a greater detail about this one in one of the discourses called this exposition on the corrupted. And Venerable Moggallana's discourse, and I state one paragraph, how friend is one corrupted? Here, having seen a form with the eye, a bhikkhu is intent upon pleasing form and repelled by displeasing form. He dwells without having set up mindfulness of the body, with a limited mind, and he does not understand as it really is that liberation of the mind, liberation by wisdom, wherein those evil unwholesome states cease without remainder. So, if someone knows this danger, that this is if I unguard my faculties, then I will accumulate those bad things. And then again, because he got the view that if I be born, I have this suffering, birth is suffering, aging is suffering, all those things would repeat. So I don't want to have that suffering. So therefore he controlled his faculties, guard his faculties, not to arise in those states. And what monks are the taints to be got rid of by use? In this teaching, a monk wisely reflective uses a robe simply for warding off the cold, for warding off the heat, for warding off the touch of gadfly, mosquito, wind and sun, creeping things, simply for the sake of covering his nakedness. Wisely reflective, he uses alms food, not for sport, not for indulgence, not for personal charm, not for beautification, but just enough for the support and sustenance of the body, for keeping it unharmed, for furthering the Brahmavihara, thinking, thus do I crush out former feeling and do not set going new feeling. So that's a really good one as well. You see that people eat, a monk or whoever, when they eat, if you think that I ate really good thing today and sort of thing, and set the mind for that one. And so he is actually generating new feelings for that one. So that new feeling that I like and I am happy will create the problem for me. And you can see immediate suffering tomorrow if he is not getting that food. And if he is actually getting that food, and because of his for the craving, he'll be born again and again. So either way, that if he's not controlling and if he's not reflecting, then he can get the corrupted mind. So so he's using his all those things, robes, materials and arms and all those things, just to maintain the protect. So by using, he can actually do that one. And if he is not protecting his body, for example, then the mosquito bites and all those things are coming up. He can't meditate, you know, that these things are painful and, you know, those things. So he has to use it. Buddha is not just saying, oh, well, it doesn't matter, you can meditate anyway, no. You need to have food. Without food, you can't do it either. You need to have the maintenance of the body, because body is important. If someone is not protecting the body, then you know, the mind gets upset. When the mind gets upset, you can't do the meditation either. So everything got to be in a sort of a order. And what months are the things to be gotten up by endurance? In this teaching, monks, a monk wisely reflect to is one who bears cold, heat, hunger, thirst, the touch of gadfly, mosquito, wind and sun, creeping things, ways of speech that are irksome, unwelcome. He is of a character to bear bodily feeling which arising are painful, acute, sharp, shooting, disagreeable, miserable. So, you see that some people are complaining about the cold, right? In the winter time in Canberra, people are complaining about that. Do they get anything out of it? No, it's just his mind get corrupted and get upset about it. When it is hot, there's nothing you can do. You have to endure that particular one, that this is the heat, so I have to bear because I have been born, there because I have the body, then there is this thing. So rather than you know, complaining, one has to endure that thing. And what monks are the things to be gotten up by? Avoidance. In this teaching, monk, a monk wisely reflecting, avoid fierce elephant, avoid fierce horse, avoid fierce bull, avoid fierce dog, a snake, the stump of a tree, a thorn break, a deep hole, a mountain slope, a refuse pool, a rubbish pit. Wisely reflecting, he avoids that which is not allowable seat and that which is not lawful resort. For arms and those who are depraved friends, so that means corrupt friends over there. If he were to sitting on what is not an allowable seat like that one, or if he is having corrupt friends, then other Bahma Pyaras are also, you know, sort of suspect, you know, the his behavior, his qualities and things like that. And certainly, well, having, you know, attained certain state, one should not think, ah, okay, I'm not going to hell, I'm going to animal realm or something like that. No, therefore, it's okay for me to go anywhere and then, you know, the things. He has got quite a lot to do to become a hunt and all those things. So, so that has to be done as well. And what monks are the tenets to be gotten up by elimination? Vinodanapahatappa. In this teaching, monks, a monk wisely reflective, does not give into thoughts about sense pleasures that has arisen, he gets rid of it. He eliminates it. He makes an end of it. Send into ceasing. He does not give into malevolence thought. And then the thought of harming that has arisen, he gets rid of it. So this is Girimananda Sutta. You can see there is Pahana Sanya. Uppannam kama vitakkanna adivaseti pajjhati vinodeti vrandhikaroti. That's one over here. Whatever the sensual desire thoughts that are coming up, that one has to give it up. If you think about the sensual desire, it just simply grows it. It never goes out of it. And it is something that one can never satisfy. It's always like that. Buddha said it. It's never, one cannot find any value out of it. Like a bone, fleshless bone. A dog will bite it, won't find any you know, the satisfaction or the value out of it. So one has to give up that one. And then the anger thought, how much you are angry, and you think about the angry person and angry thought, it just keep on increasing and maintaining the same anger. But if you give it up, and if you have the loving kindness, if you can, then you can get out of it. And then the thought of harming, thought of harming normally comes with the delusion. Ignorant thought is the contact is sort of neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable. So there's this thought, and so that those three has to be given up. So you can see when he's actually doing that one, what he has got now is the right thought. The Buddha starts with right view. The first one is the right view. All the other things lead into getting rid of this sensual desire and all those things. And then he reached the right thought. And what monk are the things to be got rid of by mental development? That is the bhavana. In this teaching, a monk wisely reflective develops mindfulness as a link in awakening, and which is dependent on aloofness, dependent on lack of attraction, dependent on ceasing, ending in renunciation. So this is the seven factors of enlightenment. The seven factors are, the first one is the mindfulness. Mindfulness, how the mindfulness comes to arise is that this Dhamma itself, let's say, what we discussed today, you go there at home, you think it over, recall the same Dhamma again and again. So Buddha said mindfulness comes to arise. So the cream, the essence of this discourse is Buddha says wisely reflect. Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness is suffering. So if you understand what Buddha said over there, and you will be wisely reflecting about this discourse. And when you are wisely reflecting, then you will see, I should not be thinking about am I or not am I sort of thing. I should be thinking about suffering. Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness is suffering, and so on. And the origin of suffering, cessation of suffering, and path leading to cessation of suffering. So you do that, and then you can see mindfulness come to arise. So, and then he, if when you are developing in that way, and then you put some effort, and then the effort come to arise. That is, you are repeatedly applying the same thing that you learn, and repeatedly applying the, this birth is suffering, aging is suffering, with effort. And you investigate this Dhamma. So get the mindfulness and you investigate the Dhamma and you get the effort, and then because of the effort you get the rapture, the happiness. Because that normally we do have these hindrances, that the hindrances will be suppressed, and then rapture come to arise. Because that cloud covering our mind is this hindrances, five hindrances. It is there, you do not know that it is there. And when that one, because you are actually thinking about the birth, aging, sickness and death, and you think others' death and your death and sort of thing and thoroughly, and then your mind is sort of expanded and it's letting the other things go, and you have a big problem. If you think your death thoroughly, you can see, I have a big problem to solve than all the other problems that I have today. So at that time, your mind becomes vast. And so the rapture arises because the hindrances are suppressed. So when the rapture arises, you are happy, and therefore your mind becomes tranquil. You don't want to go into that thing, this thing and so on thing. You are happy like a person playing a computer game or something, a small child is happy with that one and keep on doing that. Like that, because you are now attached to whatever you are doing and you are happy. And when the mind got the rapture, and mind become tranquilized, it's tranquility is there. And when there is tranquility, there's tranquility of the mind and the tranquility of mental states, and because of the tranquility, then the concentration comes to arise. Like that small boy who is not going anywhere, staying with the computer and playing that game. So the concentrated mind is concentrated. When the mind becomes concentrated, there are four stages. That is, there is this initial application, sustained application state, where you get the rapture and the happiness, and then and the concentration. And then you don't need the initial application and sustained application. You can actually maintain the rapture that way. And then you get fed up with the rapture. I don't want the rapture because rapture is sort of physical. It's coming from your head or somewhere. It's flowing through the whole body like a water flowing, right? You are so happy. And then you can see at a later stage, well, this is also troublesome for me. So that my body, my mind even get disturbed by this this thing. And it's like that you got one step. You climb up one step and you are in that step. It's a good thing to know, and you have that, and having reached that state, then you actually go to the next stage where you don't want the rapture, you want the you want the pleasurable state. This is third jhana level. And pleasure, you can see again, you are a bit biased in that one, and then you know that the pleasure is also constructed, and therefore you don't want to have that one, so you become indifferent to that. So you go into the fourth jhana level, the equanimity level. So those are the seven factors. So the equanimity is the seventh one that come to arise, and it is so pure. So with that and which is dependent on aloofness, dependent on lack of attraction, dependent on ceasing, ending in renunciation. Whereas monk, if he does not develop these link in awakening, the taints which are destructive and consuming might arise. If he develops them. Therefore, these taints which are destructive and consuming are not. Buddha said that anyone other than an arahant can be taken down if he is not in the jhana level. Well, anyone in the sense that the Sri Mantra, once written, for example, can be taken down from his state, not that he is actually losing the Sri Mantra state. If there is a sensual desire, that his mind can, you know, come down. But if he is in this concentration, jhana concentration level, Buddha said, you cannot take him down from that state. Like that you can't take that little boy from the computer, you know, mom is asking him, come and eat and sort of thing, he's not leaving, right? Because he's attached to that one, like that one, this pleasure is there, he cannot be tempted by the sensual pleasures. So if these seven factors are developed, then he is there, he knows the happiness about that one. He knows that the sensual desires and things like that, you know, the bone, fleshless bone level, what I have is superior and better. So he is not leaving that state, remain there. And he is not clinging to that one. That's the thing, the tendency to attach does not lie latent in this this sort of jhana concentration. If you have sense pleasures, then, you know, having eaten something today, I want it tomorrow, that's a must. But if you got the rapture and the pleasure and from the jhana concentration, you are not saying, I had the rapture and the pleasure today, I want it tomorrow. It is not happening like that. It is because you want to continue in this thing, you want to get rid of the suffering, you want to go in that direction, but you are not clinging to that state. If you are clinging, then that is the end of it. That means you cannot go further than that.
Is it because you are not clinging, or you cannot cling?
Well, the Chula Vedala Sutta is actually explaining that tendency to attachment does not lie latent in that jhana concentration. The other ones, tendency to attachment lies latent in the other one. So this one, this. What is called anusaya, latency is not there. Since the latency is not there, well, it is not producing. Right? Because that for the consciousness to arise whole, there are three things. One thing is that chetiti pakapeti anusaya. Chetiti is the volition got to be there. Pakapeti is that you are thinking and pondering about this sort of thing in simple terms. And the anusaya is the latency thing. So Buddha said, even if you don't have the volition and then the thinking, even if you have this anusaya or the latency, that the consciousness come to arise. But in this case, this latent thing is not there. So therefore, the volition can be there in a certain sense because this is better than the other one. So I would be there, and So it's a great discourse, very great discourse, and And Buddha repeated then, whatever amongst those stains to be got rid of by vision, they got rid of by vision, that is by having this right view. Hmm? And then they, by controlling eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind, so those other things got rid of by the controlling. By enduring, so using, by use, using the raw material or that one, for endurance, and by avoiding this, the fierce creatures, and elimination of this karma, sensual thoughts and the malevolence thought, and then the mental development, is this the seventh one. Hmm? So this is the way to get rid of this, this stains. Astro or cankers, and although it is said in this one, it has got a huge amount of dhamma, and I mentioned this diagram, how it is arising, and this 40 things over here, and then not only 40 plus, there is another 30, again we discussed those three parts as well, so 70 dhamma parts leading to this one, they are all connected. This astro is something you don't want to have. If you have the taints lead to the ignorance, and ignorance leads to the volitional formations, and the whole cycle continues.
So Satra Satipatthana is the best way to
get rid of that one. Yeah, because it cuts on the top level.
Yeah. And then a lot of, I think we could say if we do the Satra Satipatthana, and I think we can get the solution for most of these problems that we have, their doubts and everything.
Yes.
And because that it's a lot of steps in there, isn't it, if you do it.
Yes, because it's the arising phenomena, passing away phenomena, all covered, so that you get the view, correct view, and then you know about the body, you know, such is my body. You know, such is the arising of the body, such is passing away of the body. Then you know about these elements, you know, my elements are the same as the other person's elements. So if I say this is my entity and this is the entity, so what is that entity sort of thing, then when you generalize, you lose that perception about it. And so you think about the death, so, you know, the mind, things that are covering the mind is also sort of now removed, because death is really good meditation, contemplating. You've got to have the perception of death thoroughly established in the mind if you want to attain anything. It is thoroughly established. Unless you are a person who has got the dhyana concentration all the time, because you have done it before, that person doesn't need that one that much. But that person actually went into that state because he had the understanding before. And so, if you can use the death, not anybody else's death, using anybody else's death, you need to induce it to yourself. Then I am also subject to the same thing. I am also going to die. I'm also subject to aging, sickness, that one. Thoroughly established in the mind. And if you have your own example of death, that means you are going to die. Use it, thoroughly use it. Put the mind in that shoe again and again, continuously in the meditation.
Is it also good to think, you know, all the things I'm attached to are going to die? Like, you know, I'm going to die, but my children are going to continue, but they're going to die as well. You know, the sun is going to go out, the hills are going to be flat.
All my dear, all the people who are near and dear to me also subject to the same thing. Yeah. So that has to be think. One has to think that I haven't got out of the aging, I haven't got out of sickness, I haven't got rid of the death. And all my, the people who are dear and near me also subject to the same thing. And so one has to maintain that one thoroughly in the mind all the time. And if you establish that one death, perception about the death thoroughly in the mind, and you do the meditation, you can see your results are manifold. Very quickly you can arrive at these things. Because you cannot know how much these sensual desires, anger and the delusion sort of thing covering your mind. It is very I can't say, express this one. It's a very tight binding. You do not know it is there because of this astral taints. The taints are actually producing. It's like this. You teach your son or someone, well, eat this one. And then you keep on telling him that this is good for you, eat. Probably he did not want to eat it in the first place. Now he got used to it, right? Now try to change it. And ask him not to eat it. He can't. Because he used to eat that one. You taught him how to eat it. He used to it. Now he wants it. So astral taints are the same. You develop it. You maintain it. I want it. And this is mine. This is how I have become happy. Then Buddha comes and says, well, you need to get rid of that one. It's very difficult. Because we have trained our mind for a long, long time. Very long time. That this is mine. This is a part of me. So, same thing. So, astral is creating this problem. So, what you need, then the object that lead to the same condition. And that's good enough. If you see something, you know, what I have practiced before, I see it then, that's it. I'm going with it. It's called ogre, floods. I think I'll probably stop for today.